Marywood Drive was a dead-end neighborhood that did not receive much through traffic in the northern section of Sacramento. This was near the Country Club Shopping Center and wasn't too far away from where Teresa Wallen had been murdered in January of 1978. There, Evelyn Myroth lived in a home along Marywood Drive, surrounded by a handful of other homes. All but one were vacant at the time. While this may have felt like a convenience for the woman at the time, it would prove to be anything but. 36-year-old Evelyn Myroth had divorced from her husband a few years prior and lived on her own. In this home, she lived alone but would split custody of her two sons, 12-year-old Vernon and 6-year-old Jason. Her oldest child, a daughter, would choose to live with Evelyn's ex-husband, Vernon. Evelyn would find work as a babysitter throughout 1977 and was playing the part on Friday, January 27th, 1978. Not only was she watching her youngest son, Jason, who had a day off from school, but she was watching over her 22-month-old nephew, David Ferreira, who had been dropped off by Evelyn's sister at around 7 o'clock that morning. Later that morning, Evelyn would be visited by a friend of hers, Danny Meredith, a 52-year-old that had recently found work as an accountant, but at the time was unemployed. This was primarily because of some health issues that Danny had been suffering through at the time, namely a benign brain tumor, which caused him to ferry himself back and forth from doctor's appointments. In recent months, he had become good friends with Evelyn, and it was believed that he had just dropped by that morning to visit with her. Just after noon that day, closer to 12:30, a neighbor and her young son would drop by Evelyn's home. They were going to offer to take 6-year-old Jason with them up to the mountains nearby, where they were hoping to take advantage of the recent snow for a playdate. They saw that Evelyn's car was in the driveway, as was a guest, likely Evelyn's friend, Danny, so they knew that she was home. After unsuccessfully knocking on the front door, they would walk around to the back, finding the back door unlocked. However, as soon as they popped their head in to call out for Evelyn or Jason, they saw something. A man's body, lying on the floor near the back door in a pile of blood. These neighbors would immediately return to their home to call police, leaving the crime scene intact. As they rushed back to their home, they noticed that the unknown vehicle sitting in Evelyn's driveway was now missing, indicating that someone had left the home while they walked around towards the back door. Police would arrive within minutes, and they would begin to survey the bloody crime scene that had been left inside of Evelyn Myroth's home. The sheriff of Sacramento County, Duane Lowe, would refer to the senseless and brutal murders inside of the home as the most grotesque he had seen in his entire 28 years in law enforcement. For that reason, he would end up dispatching more than 65 officers to work on the case in the immediate aftermath. Based on the evidence left behind at the crime scene, investigators would theorize that the killer had gained access to the house, likely through the back door, which he left unlocked, and first encountered Evelyn's friend, Danny Meredith, whom he shot and killed. Danny was missing his wallet and car keys, and it would later be proven that the vehicle seen in the driveway, a 1972 red station wagon, was his. This vehicle had first been seen in Evelyn's driveway at around 11 a.m. and was later found abandoned in the 3500 block of Marconi Drive, about a quarter mile away from the crime scene. Police theorized that the killer had stolen it while making his panicked escape from the home, ditching it close to a nearby shopping plaza, where he had likely parked his own car. After shooting Danny Meredith near the back door, the killer had then gone on to kill Evelyn Myroth, as well as the two children with her, her 6-year-old son Jason and 22-month-old nephew David. The bodies of Evelyn and Jason were found in the master bedroom, having been shot in the head at close range with a small caliber pistol. However, the two bodies had been mutilated after death with at least two knives found in Evelyn's kitchen, both of which were abandoned near Evelyn's body. The killer had seemed to target most of his misguided rage at Evelyn Myroth, subjecting her corpse to a treatment very similar to Teresa Wallen's, slashing her across the abdomen and disemboweling her in the process of some kind of cannibalization. Her bloody remains would later be found on her bed, completely nude, except for a necklace, her body smeared with blood. While initial reports indicated that there had been no sexual abuse of her corpse, further examinations would reveal that Evelyn had been sodomized posthumously in an obscene act of necrophilia. Semen was found inside of her body. Evelyn's 6-year-old son Jason, who had similarly been shot in the head, had been laid out near her feet at the foot of the bed. Missing from the scene entirely was 22-month-old David Ferreira, with police theorizing that the killer had fled from the scene with the toddler's remains upon being interrupted by the knock at the front door. It was believed that he had fled with the youngster's body in Danny Meredith's 1972 red station wagon, which, as you already heard, was found abandoned about a quarter mile away. Despite initial reports that the child might have still been alive, authorities were quick to temper expectations. Having found a pool of blood in the child's crib, as well as a .22 caliber shell casing, it was also believed that brain matter found in a bathtub, along with blood, water, and feces, belonged to the toddler. According to Sheriff Spokesman Bill Miller, who spoke to the press that evening, there's not a great deal of hope he will be found alive.
This defendant murdered another human being.
You don't know kind. You're evil.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
I hope that this matter can be resolved.
This has been a brief preview for my new podcast, Resolved, which is available now on Patreon. If you would like to hear the rest of the episode, consider heading to patreon.com/unresolvedpod, where you could become a patron and help support this show. All patrons get access to my backlog of bonus mini-episodes, as well as commercial-free episodes of other podcasts from Unresolved Productions, including Unresolved and Hoax. New episodes of Resolved will be made available on the 15th of every month, so stay tuned and make sure to check it out if you're interested. Once again, you could find more information at patreon.com/unresolvedpod.